Morning. If you would open up your Bibles this morning, it appears that we're going to be finishing up this second chapter of 2 Thessalonians this morning. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 17.
I forgot to tell you, will you read from 13?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll be reading 13 through 17. Excuse me. And this has been such a great study. I've really been enjoying this. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you once again for just this opportunity to come into your house, Lord, as brothers and sisters in you, Lord. And we are brothers and sisters because of what you have done for us, Lord. And this passage is such a great reminder that we are in you, Lord, and that we have something great to look forward to of spending eternity with you. We thank you so much for so much that we've learned already through this epistle, Lord. Looking forward to when we get to see you again, Lord, coming back to earth and to bring us to that eternal place of glory. We just pray now that as we study your word, that you would open our hearts and minds, Lord, and may your Holy Spirit just work within us. And if there's anything that needs to change in our lives, that we would take that and apply it, Lord. And just be working in us, Lord. Just pray for Pastor Craig as he delivers this message, and may it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Ron.
One of the main reasons that Paul wrote this letter to this church was because they had been deceived about the day of the Lord. Of course, the day of the Lord is a time when God is going to pour out his wrath upon the earth. And some of the believers here at Thessalonica had been deceived by a counterfeit letter. In fact, early in this chapter, right at the beginning, we learn about this letter that came to them, supposed from Paul, leading them to believe that because of the persecutions that they were encountering in their life right now, they told them, well, that's God's wrath upon you. So some of them have been deceived by this counterfeit letter into thinking they were in the day of the Lord. So since the beginning of chapter 2, Paul has not only corrected them and reaffirmed the proper order of things, proving to them why they are not going to receive God's wrath, but he has most recently, in verses 13 and 14, most recently reaffirmed why that will never be the case. God's wrath will never come upon you. The middle of verse 13 says, because from the beginning, God chose you for salvation. In Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, he told them, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God has promised you, those of you who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that you will not have to endure his wrath. In fact, Christ took your wrath upon himself. You will not be condemned. And so this morning in our passage, Paul concludes chapter 2 by telling them, you need to trust in the truth. You need to trust in God and what he has told you. You need to live your life trusting in what God has provided for you and promised to you. Inside of every airplane, there are instruments that are put there, and they are critical. They are critical to the flying of that aircraft. The instruments will give you, the pilot, a true reading of how the aircraft is flying and its position in the air. And even if a pilot's mind may tell him differently, and that happens from time to time, if they rely on their instruments, okay, they can know exactly where they are in the air. On a clear, sunny day, a pilot may not need some of those instruments. But at night or in poor visibility, these instruments, they become vital to the pilot and his passenger's survival. Many planes have crashed because the pilot couldn't see, okay, and he became disoriented, and then on top of that failed to trust in his instruments. They actually call it spatial disorientation. All right, and Terry's lipping it right along with me. He knows. And that is really, it's when your experience or your sensations, the things that you are going through, the things that you are experiencing feel different. They feel different from what your instruments are actually telling you. You may think that you are going down when in fact you are going up. And if one heeds what he thinks he is sensing over what his instruments are telling him to be true, it could put him in a very dangerous situation. Well, for some at the church at Thessalonica, they were experiencing a spatial disorientation of sorts because of the persecutions that were coming upon them, because of afflictions from the world. Okay, they had been deceived into thinking this was God's wrath. This is God's judgment upon us. This is the day of the Lord, and we are going down. When the truth of the matter is, God's instrument, God's word to them was telling them just the opposite. You're not going down in wrath. You're going up in glory. You're not going to be condemned. You're going to live with God forever. So Paul, having corrected the issue already in previous verses, now reaffirms really how they can best keep doubts from creeping in again. How to keep from being deceived again. And we're going to learn how to keep it from happening to us really through two requests that Paul makes of the church at Thessalonica in the last verses of this chapter. And both of them pertain to simply trusting the truth. Simply trusting God. Trust your instrument. Trust God and His Word in this. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what it looks like around you, trust in God's Word. I know you're going to encounter things that you don't understand, but Paul says, trust the truth. And we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 this morning. And the very first request is actually to the church. And here it is. Be stable in God's Word. Be stable in God's Word. A few weeks ago, I had a little bout with vertigo. It was the first time in my life I had ever experienced anything like that, a little spatial disorientation of my own. But vertigo is typically caused by an inner ear problem, and you lose your sense of balance, and depending upon the degree of vertigo, you might lose it completely, okay? And if you're not careful, I mean, you don't know which way is up, which way is down, which way is right and left, and you fall right over. Now, I'm not sure how or why I got it, but it wasn't severe enough that I had it constantly. But if I moved in just the wrong direction, if I turned my head a little bit too quick to the right or to the left, or, and this is one that got me every time, if I looked up even a little bit, the room would start spinning. And I mean, like nothing I have ever experienced before. It was completely unnerving, okay? So as I preached that Sunday morning, I had to make it a point to move around as little as possible. I planted my feet on the ground. I didn't move them. I don't think the people over here ever saw me look at them. And I was locked on. And if you were observant, you would have noticed that I was holding on kind of tight that morning just in case. We actually, before I actually got up to preach that morning, we sang the song, I Will Overcome. And if you know the lyrics, here they are. The opening lyrics are, I can see that my hands are trembling. I can see that my legs are weak. I can see that my head is spinning, but I will overcome. And I leaned over and I whispered to Janine, that is exactly how I'm feeling. That's exactly what I'm going through right now. But I did overcome. There was a couple of you that knew I was kind of battling with it that morning. And I think you prayed for me. So thank you. But here is my point in all of this. In order to keep from falling over, I planted my feet and I held onto the pulpit really tight that morning. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what Paul tells these Thessalonian believers to do so that they won't fall for deception or doubt, so that they could remain assured of God's promises to them. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Be stable in God's word. Stand firm. Hold tight the traditions that you were taught. Now, that word tradition is used in kind of a general but specific sense, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But in the church today, there are many traditions that have actually carried on through the years, and some traditions have actually twisted the truth, okay, and made God's word say what it doesn't say. Even in the Jewish religion of Paul's time, there were traditions that had severely twisted the truth of God's word. But a tradition in general, the tradition as Paul is using the word right here, is just the teaching of a truth. That's what he's talking about. That's what Paul is referring to. Paul is specifically referring to the teachings, the traditions that he had taught them. And he lists two ways that he had taught it to them. First of all, by word of mouth. He says, I want you to stand fast and hold tight the things that you learned right from me when I was with you. Now, Paul, again, he didn't get to spend much time with the church at Thessalonica. But if he taught there, like we learned that he taught in other places that he went, it would have been a very intensive time of teaching. There are places in Scripture where we learn that Paul taught sometimes 8, 10, 12 hours straight, okay? So he taught by word of mouth, and then he says the other way he taught was by written letter, which is what we're reading right here. That's what an epistle is, a written letter. And Paul is the confirmed author, really, of at least 13 epistles in our Bible. 13 letters that Paul wrote that were inspired by God and eternally recorded for every single one of us to read, hear, and learn from. And many of the things, really, that were even taught by word of mouth were later put into epistle form, into a written letter. In fact, right back in verse 5 of this chapter, Paul says there, upon penning a teaching to this church, he says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, okay? So while we can't have the benefit of hearing these teachings right from the mouth of the authors, we do have every single God-inspired epistle that was written. Whether by Paul or the other apostles, we have God's word through our Bibles, through these letters, through the books of history, through the prophetic accounts, through the songs and works of wisdom in our Bibles, and even through the laws of God. And being stable in God's word means that we must be growing in our understanding of it, okay? Growing in our understanding of what this book says. You see, I believe, and I'm convinced that the doubts about the truth creep into our minds because of our lack of understanding. Okay, how can we hold fast to something if we don't know what that something is that we're supposed to hold fast to? How can we stand fast if we don't know where or what the foundation is? Being stable in God's word requires learning it, knowing who God is, knowing Him intimately by His personality revealed to us in His Word. It requires knowing it. And honestly, the biggest critics of God's Word are those who understand the least about it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says that Jesus Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we gain that through spending time in God's Word, learning about God, learning about ourselves, growing in our understanding of it. In Ephesians 4:14, he tells us why we need to do that. Why learn? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Ephesians 4:15 says that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. The Thessalonians had been deceived. We need to be stable in God's word. And that is what Paul is requesting of them. The second request is for the church, and here it is. Be secure in God's work. Be secure in God's work. These next two verses in 2 Thessalonians that we're going to look at in just a minute are actually a prayer to God for them. Kind of a benediction, okay? But really a quick prayer to God for these believers. That upon realizing how secure, how safe they are in the promises of God, that they would live and work accordingly. During the initial construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco, there were no safety devices used at all. This was before OSHA, I think. But anyway, there were no safety devices used at all in the construction of that bridge, in the initial construction. And as a result, there were actually 23 men that lost their lives because they fell and they died, okay? I imagine men going to work each day thinking, I wonder if I'm going to be the next one, okay? What's my family going to do if I am? However, after the loss of 23 lives for the final part of the project, huge nets were actually put in place under the bridge. huge nets to catch potential or people that actually do fall. And what's neat is for the remainder of the project, at least 10 men did fall, but lived through it. They were saved from certain death because of these safety nets that were placed there. Safety, security, it's a wonderful thing. And I'm sure those 10 men and their families really thought so. But here's the interesting thing about this story, is after the nets were put in place, 25% more work got done on a daily basis. Why? Because all of the workers, they now had the assurance. It's not that they could be careless, but they spent less time worrying about their safety. They spent less time wondering, am I going to die today? Okay? 25% more work was accomplished each day because they were now free to wholeheartedly serve the project. Well, that is really along the same lines what Paul wanted this church to understand, what he wants us to understand. You are safe. You are free to serve fearlessly your Lord and Savior. So he prayed that they would. Look at verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Why could they be secure in God's work? Well, Paul kind of recaps what he had actually just taught them in verses 13 and 14. He says, you're cherished. Verse 16, in fact, puts it this way. Our Lord Jesus Christ and God and Father loves you. He loves you. You are cherished. He cares about your well-being. In 1 John 4:10, it says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. You are cherished. You are chosen. God, our passage says, has given us everlasting consolation. That is perpetual comfort. We never need fear our eternal destination because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. We can be comforted by the fact that God can't choose wrong. If you have placed your faith in Christ for salvation from sin, you now belong to him. And then you are called. The end of verse 16 says, to good hope by grace. By God's grace, that is simply because he chose to reward and favor and bless us. He has given us not only the perpetual comfort of knowing we are his, but a confident hope in our future because we are his. We will obtain, as we learned last week, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is a recap of verses 13 and 14. We're called to obtain the perfection of God so that we can dwell with him forever. We are called by his grace. That is amazing, amazing grace. So why is Paul restating all of this information only two verses later in the form of a prayer? Well, by way of a prayer to God, he requests, may the very God who cherishes you, the very God who chose you, the very God who called you to eternal life, the God who is infinite, all-knowing, unchanging, and mighty in power, may our God comfort you and establish you in every good word and work. You are cherished, you are chosen, you are called, but also you are channeled. You are channeled. Now, I debated with myself as to whether I should use that word channeled or not, because it's kind of been hijacked by spiritists and the like. But the word channeled simply refers to being a conduit or flow of something. And that is really exactly what we are for God. We are channels. We are vessels of God for his word and work in this world. And Paul's prayer for believers that upon recognizing the security that we have in our great God, that we would be courageous, strong, strong in his power in everything that we do, that we would fearlessly serve him. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, he will be a vessel of honor. And speaking of the one who fearlessly serves the Lord, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's channels to the world. And Paul's prayer here is that in recognizing God's security of his children, that we could serve him fearlessly, that we could be fearless, confident channels to the world through trusting in him and his word. Shortly after crossing into Iraq, Colonel Patton's jet was locked onto by Iraqi surface-to-air missile radar. In the blackness of the night, he violently maneuvered his jet to break the radar's lock. And thankfully, his maneuver successfully broke the lock, but it created a new problem for him. Those radical movements in the dark threw off completely his balance in his inner ear, causing him to be disoriented. His mind was telling him that his plane was now in a climbing position. But when he looked at his instruments, he noticed that they told him that he was in a 60-degree dive toward the ground. He was sure. He was absolutely sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt in his mind, that no, I'm in a climb. I'm going up. And his mind was screaming at him to lower the nose of his F-15 and halt the climb. And while his mind commanded him to correct the plane in one direction, his instruments were instructing him to do just the opposite. And because he was flying in total darkness, he had to decide quickly whether to trust his own fallible reasoning or his instruments. His life depended upon making the correct choice. And because we have the story, you know he made it through. He made the right choice. Even though it took everything within him to overcome what his mind was trying to convince him of, even though all of the physical evidence around him, the feeling, the sensation was telling him to pull the nose of his plane down, he decided to trust his instruments. He rolled his wings level, pulled his F-15 upward, withdrew 7 times the force of gravity, pulling the aircraft out of its dive, and it only took a few moments, instant really, to realize that he had made the right decision. If he had lowered the nose of his jet like his mind had been telling him, he would have crashed the plane. But trusting in his instruments saved his life. Well, as believers in this world, we are bombarded by false information. Information that sounds right sometimes. Information that seems logical. It feels like the right thing to do. information that we can even convince ourselves is accurate. But if we trust it, if we go the way of the world, we may fall or even spiritually crash. The Lord may even take us home prematurely if we go too far the other direction. That is exactly what Paul was trying to help these believers, to help us understand and avoid. So through two requests here this morning, he's reminded us, trust the truth. Trust the truth. Just as you trusted God to save you from salvation, trust him in all things. I know you're going to hear things. You're going to see things in this world that are going to cause you to doubt, to want to doubt, to want to go on board with what everybody else is doing and feeling. But trust the truth. Trust him in all things, because he is God after all. Be stable in God's word. Be secure in God's work. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, and this is a comparison that we can hold on to, okay? The foolishness of God, is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. And we can hang on to that. We can trust in that. Be stable in God's word. Be secure in his work. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for just the truth of your word, the accuracy, the evidence, the proof, Lord. I know your word does not need to be proved. It proves itself. But Father, I thank you this morning because in our weakness, doubts do creep in. Lord, we look at the world and the philosophies around us, and our old nature wants to believe them. We have within inside of ourselves a traitor that wants to betray the truth. So Father, I pray and I thank you for your word to us that we can look to, that we can learn from, that we can grow in, so that we can be stable. When the world around us is rocking, Lord, we can be stable, that we can be secure, that no matter what kind of chaos is taking place in this world and around us, we can continue to do your work. We can be the channels of your power and your truth in this world. And I pray that we would be. In Jesus' name, amen.